scripture this morning comes from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 through 10. In your pew Bibles, that's page 154. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 through 10. Behold, I have taught you statutes and ordinances, as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do them in the land which you are entering to take possession of it. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon Him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and ordinances so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and make them known to your children and your children's children, how on the day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, the Lord said to me, 'Gather the people to me, that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear all the days that they live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children to do so.' May God bless the reading and receiving of His word."
Thanks, Chris. Thank you, Lisa, so much for that song. This morning we've had baby dedication. A time where we smile, where we enjoy the joy of the parents and all the grands and all those others who are involved. And a time when we say, "Aww." Right? I heard that a while ago. Some of you dragged it out even longer than I did. It's appropriate. It's a very appropriate time for us to speak as well about parenting to parents, especially teaching your children. It's a time to remind us all, though, of our responsibilities and our privileges. The responsibilities and privileges that we have that have been entrusted to us in children and teaching them and teaching them well. And if you looked at the sermon title, yes. You who are on the road must bear a load, have a code that you must live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. So teach your children well, their father's health did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you'll know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told them you would cry, so just look at them and sigh, and know they love you. Jack, I thought you would have joined in. Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young had a hit way back when with that song, "Teach Your Children Well." And the message is very appropriate. Some of the later words: "And you of tender years can't know the fears that your elders grew by, and so please help them with your youth. They seek the truth before they can die. So teach your children well." Teach your children well. And the sign out front at the road carries it even further. It's a variation on this. It says, "Teach the children well." Because while, yes, we will talk about parents teaching their children well, the message is also that we all help to teach the children and teach them well. All of those children who come within our purview. Now, the emphasis today
is not one that is just for today, though. This emphasis on teaching children well is something that should be for every day, not just a baby dedication day, and not just for parents. This is something that is extremely important, not only for us, but extremely important for our world, that we teach children and we teach them well. The passage from Deuteronomy 4, actually before these verses, is a passage which calls the hearers, and this is one of, actually it's the first, it's the end of the first of Moses' five farewell speeches. The book of Deuteronomy is made up predominantly of five speeches of Moses as he is approaching death, and their farewell speeches to the people to remind them over and over and over again about their relationship with God, how they have been called, and to what they have been called. And so here, in this passage, toward the end of this first speech, the people are called to listen seriously to what God says and to obey. The old word that we use, if you go back and read before this, is hearken to. Well, when you hearken to something, that means that you listen very closely and very carefully. You pay attention. Jesus, in a couple of his parables recorded in the New Testament, uses the form akouete in Greek, which means listen up, pay attention. This is not an option. But here in the Hebrew text, when we translate this word as hearken, it means to listen very closely and seriously to what is about to be said, and obey what God says. The people are called to hold fast to God's commands in verses 1 through 4 because God has held fast to them. It's not, and I was talking kind of digress here, talking with someone earlier today. Far too often people walk down aisles like this for fire insurance to avoid punishment. And I really wonder how many decisions like that are sincere. Should we not make our professions of faith in Christ and come to God because God holds us fast? Because God loves us and God shares that mercy and grace with us and has done so definitively in Jesus of Nazareth, that our motivation shouldn't be to avoid punishment and to avoid or to get fire insurance, but rather out of a positive reaction to what God does in our lives and for us. And so they are called in verses 1 through 4 of chapter 4 to hearken and to obey because God has held them fast and continues to do so. And then Moses catches the people off guard. He catches them off guard by stating that they must attend to the ordinances and statutes, not just that God has taught them, but that He will continue to teach them. And this sets the stage for the rest of the book of Deuteronomy, as over and over and over again he does this. In fact, in chapter 5, he goes over the Decalogue once again, very much as it's found in Exodus chapter 20, to remind them that the basics of the law, the basics of their ethics, are found in the Ten Commandments. First and foremost. Of course, then he reminds them of the covenant codes, which we often forget and which he received while on the mountain as well, that follow in the following several chapters of Exodus. And he goes on to say, if they expect to occupy the land, if they expect to live as God's nation, then they are to obey God's commands, ordinances, and statutes. To obey them is to live. That's what Moses says. To obey these is to truly live. To disobey is to suffer. And not just individually, but to suffer as a people. The etymology of the command of ordinances and statutes is similar to our modern idea of case law. But we also find here that what is behind these words, ordinances and statutes, is one, the presence of God's law in the nation indicates a close relationship between God and the people. It's a connection that other nations did not have, the connection between the ordinances and statutes, what was expected of them, how they were supposed to live, and their relationship with God. Now, I'm not talking about a theocracy here. We're not looking at an Islamic state. That's a theocracy in many countries around the world. But we are looking at that close relationship between God and our ethics, the statutes that God gives by which we are to live. And secondly, the nature of God's law sets it apart from other laws because it rests on God's righteousness. Additionally, we find in this passage that God's law sets boundaries for God's people, though the boundaries and applications are not always clear. The longer I do this, the longer I study the Scriptures, the longer I'm alive in this world, the more gray the world becomes. And I don't just mean my hair, but the more gray the world is, and the more options that there are for applying morals and ethics. For example, what does it really mean to honor your father and your mother throughout your human life? What does it really mean? What if your father and mother are pretty terrible? What if your father and mother seek to keep you away from God? So what does it mean to honor father and mother throughout all of your life, not just when you're a child, but as you go through life? What God promises them is the tools that they need for interpreting and applying the requirements of their covenant to life situations as they change. Our world is not the same, although in many ways some of the problems are, but it's not exactly the same as it was back then. If the ordinances and statutes were not subject to the change with the times, I don't mean changes and we toss them out, but helping us to better understand how they apply to different eras, we'd be in big trouble. But God gives us the wisdom and the insight, and that's what Moses is talking about here. The wisdom and the insight to learn, to study, to think about those ordinances in order to understand God's purpose and God's desire for ethical living. And we are not doing that just for ourselves. The text goes on to say we are doing that so that we might teach our children and our children's children. We are to continue to recite these laws, these ordinances, these insights that we gain in order, first of all, that we not forget the things that we've experienced and been taught. And secondly, that our children and our children's children will know them. That is, the memories and the traditions which can make later generations understand our lives, the teaching of God, and their lives. Tradition's not always a bad thing. He goes on to say that these things will help keep our soul diligent. Verses 9 and 10 were to keep our soul diligent. The soul was the life force, that which gives life and which gives meaning to life. Diligent in study and in understanding. And then we are to diligently teach these things to our children. Oh, I'll wait until they get old enough to decide for themselves about God and church. I'm not going to take them. I'm not going to go with them. When they're old enough, they can make their own decision. How often have you heard that? Maybe you haven't. I can't count the number of times I've heard it over the years. But you know what that really is? Let's be honest here. That's an extremely lame excuse for why you don't go. That's all that is. An extremely lame excuse for why you don't go. It's much more difficult to know what to choose if you haven't been exposed to God and to church and to worship. In a meeting recently, and according to the latest statistics, 78% of high schoolers are sexually active. in this country. Kind of like the when I was talking years and years ago teaching an Old Testament class, we were dealing with the Ten Commandments, and I was talking about adultery, and that included sexual relationships between people who were married but not married to each other, and also sexual relationships between people who aren't married, including premarital sex. And in the back of the room, I shared this with some of you before. Some sounds and some tones I can't hear, although, you know, and Mary says her voice is one of them, but that's not true. But I can hear whispers very good. And all the way in the back of the classroom, this young woman, who happened to be a Baptist preacher's daughter, leaned over to her neighbor and whispered, "You mean what my boyfriend and me is wrong, are doing is wrong?" And the whole class turned around and looked. If you're not exposed to it, if you're not exposed to God, and if you're not exposed to church and to ethical living, how can you know what to choose or why? Part of the parental responsibility is to share stories, to share worship, and to share life with children. We need to, in verse 10, rediscover or truly experience, maybe for the first time, the reverence for God about which Moses speaks. That word fear doesn't mean scared of God. That means reverence. And to do so all the days that they live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children and their children's children. Reverence for God, yes. But also the morals and the ethics of truly righteous living in relationship with God. If you don't come and know, chances are your children won't either. By the way, in Muslim circles, when a child is born, as that child is being born, the imam is reading scripture from the Quran. And there are sayings from the Quran posted all over the house. How often do we even pray over the birth of our children, much less read scripture or post things in the house? And yet Deuteronomy 4, 5 to 10 says we should do that. However, it's not just for the parents, and it's not just for the grandparents. It's for all of us. All of us to share every opportunity we have, to share in worship, to share in fellowship, in order to truly experience life and living. And this urgent need is there for the children and for the world. By the way, off in the future, I'm going to make an attempt to resurrect something that maybe some of us grew up with, although it was generally on a Sunday night. And we'll try it at some different times. But for those who would be willing to share a word of testimony about how you came to know God, or maybe something important that God, you have seen God do in your life or in your neighborhood or in your family in recent days. And to do that fairly regularly, if y'all will, as we gather for worship, so that we can make connections, so our children and our children's children and our friends' children can know that there is indeed something to this that is meaningful. And just because somebody has hair that's going more white than dark, like mine, doesn't mean that they're irrelevant. And at the same time, just because someone is young doesn't mean that they're irrelevant. But that we can all teach each other, and teach each other well. And when we faithfully accomplish teaching children well, whether we're parents, or whether we're Sunday school teachers, or whether we're just neighbors, we can sigh and know they love you. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have sent folks to teach us. And many of us have grown up in our lives with those teachings, but sometimes we fail to share them. We ask that you would give us the strength and the wisdom and the insight and the courage to teach all our children well, so that they not only love us, but more importantly, that they love you and your world. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, I bet you don't even need to open a hymnal for. But in case you do, it's 185. Jesus Loves Me. Our altar is open for any decision that anyone would make, whether that's a first-time public profession of faith in Christ, or to come and join with this fellowship, or to rededicate yourself to teaching all children well. 185, Jesus Loves Me.